with a loud voice, the multitudes praised God and joyfully for all of the deeds of power they had seen Jesus do. That's how Luke and our translation render the scene. It's no quiet parade. It's a jubilant one. A loud voice. One translation calls it enthusiastic praise. The scene sounds more like the fourth quarter of a close football game than a typical service of Presbyterian worship. Jesus is coming down the hillside, the Mount of Olives. He's on a humble donkey. And there are shouts of peace and God save us on the mouths of the people. Loud voices. Their joy, their hopes, their celebration. They rattled the hillside. Luke is sure to tell us that not everybody was happy with the noise. The Pharisees demand, like parents worried about their children's behavior or school librarians, quiet, please. The Pharisees say, Jesus, tell your followers to use their inside voices. Keep it down. I can appreciate the Pharisees' position, can you? I mean, it's Passover week. Pilgrims, excitable pilgrims, religious fanatics are coming to Jerusalem for their festival of redemption called Passover. And the city is filling up and the excitement is building, kind of like North Point Parkway on December 23rd. The Pharisees just want things to go smoothly. The Romans give them permission to celebrate their little religious festivals as long as it's peaceful. They don't want Jesus and his raucous crowd to upset the Romans and have all the celebrations canceled. Besides, Jesus, these Roman guards can arrest you or do worse. Jesus welcomes the noise. Do you notice that in the parade? He seems to laud these excitable shouts. Now, it's true, if you've been paying attention to Jesus' ministry up in Galilee through the years, he often will do a miracle or something great and then say, now, keep it quiet. Don't tell anyone. But now, he seems to say, he could have come to Jerusalem quietly. He could have slipped in incognito at night. But no, he comes openly. He comes loudly, even defiantly. On a lowly colt, a never-been-ridden colt, walking down a mountain hillside on coats. That could have been interesting. Jesus says to the Pharisees, this is no time for silence. In fact, this is time for loud celebration and praise because of God's coming salvation. If my followers were silent, the very stones under this donkey's hooves would cry out. It's the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus entering the city. It will be, you know this, a week of conflict and tears, a week of questioning and prophecy, deliberating, celebrating, eating, drinking, remembering, denying, spitting, abusing. It will be a week of breathing his last and then wrapping his body in a linen cloth that it might later be anointed with burial oils. With all of the hardship before Jesus this week, no wonder he welcomes the joy and the praise of the crowds on Palm Sunday. No wonder he says, sing out for your salvation. Lift up your hopes for what God will do. He accepts the laud and the honor. This is no time for silence. This is a time for loud shouts and praise. You are here this day to lend your voice. The children got us off to a good start. And lift publicly our praise to God as we enter this week of declaring the place of prayer a place for all people. Welcoming to the table all who would eat and drink and have their hungers and thirsts quenched in the gift of Jesus' life. Remembering on Good Friday his saving death and anticipating the joy, the reversal, the victory of the empty tomb. Sound out the band. Raise the voices. Ring the handbells. Clap your hands. Wave your palms. The Savior of the world comes to Jerusalem, the suffering Christ, to give his life for our salvation. It is no time for silence. Now, the keepers of the status quo, the religious establishment of his day, and those who ran the empires of that ancient world, they preferred that the church not make much noise. The feeling of those in power was, you can hold your religious convictions freely. Just keep them to yourselves. Don't disturb the rest of us with your demands and your hopes and your God. In the American South in the 19th century, when slavery was firmly established and profitable, many in the church said we should stick just to the spiritual and not dirty ourselves or mess with things in the public or economic or social arena. And folks in the state capital said, absolutely, you just stick to the spiritual gospel. Stay in your sanctuary and pray. And don't challenge how we run the world. When Adolf Hitler rose to power in Germany, many in the church refused to speak out against him. Thomas Jefferson was once attributed to say, all tyranny gains a foothold when good people remain silent. John Stuart Mill in the 19th century in Britain said something similar. Bad people need nothing more to succeed than when good people do nothing. Have you heard what Nehemiah said in response to Hitler? He wrote a poem. First they came for the socialists. I didn't speak. I'm not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I didn't speak. I'm not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. I didn't speak. I'm not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak. Jesus knew the danger of silence. Evil and tyranny, violence would prosper. And so he welcomed the loud praise of God's people calling upon salvation and life in this coming King, the soon-to-be-crucified Son of God. The church today, like disciples long ago, must speak up, must act out, must not be relegated to the sanctuary and things spiritual only. The forces of evil and death are what God is seeking to overthrow, and that will take us out into the world where the world is occupied by injustice and hatred and tyranny and oppression and sin. God's kingdom comes in Jesus Christ, not through violence, but through sacrifice. God's salvation comes in Jesus Christ, not haphazardly, but intentionally and with resolve and self-giving. God's kingdom comes not with a flex and show of power, but as Paul said, with a self-emptying. Jesus accomplishes his sacrifice through serving. Jesus has victory through obedience. Jesus confronts tyranny with the cross. The ways of Caesar's empire are not the ways of God's kingdom. Caesar's empire is reigned with dominance and violence and ruthless power. By contrast, Jesus on the humble donkey talks about justice and mercy and peace and life and love and forgiveness. Caesar may sit on the throne, but Caesar does not have the last word of Holy Week. And Pontius Pilate may be a puppet ruler under Caesar with authority over Jerusalem, but he doesn't get the last word. Even the Pharisees and the scribes and the crowds, they don't get the last word. The last word of Holy Week comes from the Roman centurion who crucifies Jesus and watches him breathe his last and says, this man was innocent. Truly, this was God's Son. You and I gaze back a couple thousand years to that sacrifice, that unselfish gift, that courage that fearlessness, that mission accomplished. And my friend and mentor David Bartlett says, followers of Jesus today, as we look back, are reminded we too, like him, must live courageously as we follow him, as we carry on his dangerous mission in the world. The world has so many troubles, so many challenges, so much suffering and brokenness. This is no time for silence. No time for shrinking back. No time for keeping to the spiritual gospel. But the gospel meant for the salvation of the world. God's people must act for salvation, must speak up for life as the opioid epidemic rages and claims lives, as the planet's environment continues to head toward catastrophe, as the oceans fill with plastic and the soils with toxins, as gun violence rages and claims innocent lives, as 1 in 5 children in our country faces hunger and 600 million people in the world extreme poverty, as racism and discrimination and hate crimes are on the rise, as democracy in the world seems to be in retreat, and human trafficking and slavery and immigration crises. Sing out, people of God, sing out, speak up for Jesus Christ, this nonviolent mission of his which intends to save life and make whole what is broken. Be filled with the same spirit that filled him, that we might continue his mission of feeding the hungry, healing the sick, welcoming the outcast, making whole the broken, lifting the lowly, lowering the proud, stirring the rich to generosity and acts of good works, calling sinners to repentance, reclaiming the temple as a place of prayer for all. This is no time for silence. The salvation of God is accomplished in Christ and carried on through those who follow him even today. Much life-saving work is needed in this world, and so in his name, let us carry on the mission. In his name, let us not keep silence. Because if you keep silence, the very stones themselves will sing out. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a stone singing out for God's salvation in my place. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.